Over the last year and a half, I had the schus to reach out to many of the alumni to tell them about this special project we're doing in memory of Ari Sharfman. So I got to hear people's thoughts and reflections about Rabbi Sharfman. Alumni came out of the woodwork. Some of them hadn't heard from yeshiva in a long time. I tried to get to as many as I could. Didn't get to everyone, but the thoughts that came out were just so, it was so nice to hear. You know, it's been years and years, and people had such strong memories, and it was just really, really nice. And it really just brought them back, their connection to the yeshiva. And it was really beautiful to hear. I myself was a zocher to be in Rabbi Sharfman's shir. I was here for 3 years. I was in his shir first year, and then in yeshiva for another 2 years. And I guess we used to make jokes, you know, Rabbi Sharfman's rants. Rabbi Sharfman used to have a hashkafa he would want to talk about, and he would just sometimes just go on and on. And we would sometimes joke about it, you know, Rabbi Sharfman, his rants. But they really were, he was drilling that hashkafa into us, and it was something that really impacts me all the time. I think back to some of the things he talked about in Shir. He would just spend 2 days talking, like if he got fired up about something, 2 days just talking about, you know, hashkafa that he thought was very important. And it's really something I think about often. There were times during Musar Seder, we'd have a Musar group, and it would start off with the 10 guys in the Musar group, and by the time Musar Seder was over, there were 30, 40, 50 guys around the table, and Rabbi Sharfman just going on and on. And again, these were real hashkafas that he was just drilling into us, about things that he was so passionate about. And they really do affect me every day, and I'm happy that I was able to hear them from him and be around yeshiva for 3 years with him. I'd like to ask Chaim Sharfman to say a few words on behalf of the family, and then we'll hear from a few alumni.
When I was thinking about today's event, I was hit by a bunch of different feelings, primarily the feeling of Hakaras HaTov, really, to this yeshiva, for everything they've done for our family. And more specifically for this dedication, it means a lot to us. The other thing that really hit me, the other really piece of Hakaras HaTov that hit me, was that Hakaras HaTov told Talmidim for their involvement in this campaign and making it happen, which is a tremendous chus for my father's neshama. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that when Rabbi Elazar was sick, four Zakanim came to visit him. Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Tarfon said that a Rebbe is greater than a tipa shel gishamim, a drop of rain. Because a tipa shel gishamim is just in this world, but a Rebbe is someone that helps a person in this world and in the next world. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz explained that Reb Tarfon compared a Rebbe to a drop of rain because the same way a seed, which is underground, has no ability to sprout without rain, so too a Talmid, a regular neshama, although it has tremendous kachas, can't really sprout and can't take off without having a Rebbe. And neshama is considered an oimid, which makes it that it can't take off. And that oimid is there up until a Rebbe comes and gives mashpia in it in a way that it'll go up. This Var of Chaim Shmulevitz really shows the tremendous power of a Rebbe has on a Talmud, and even after a passing of a Rebbe, that hashpah continues. But what really stood out to me was the way Reb Chaim Shmulevitz refers to neshama without a Rebbe as an oimid. We know that a person in the world, in this world, is referred to as a holich, that he comes and he does mitzvahs, and he keeps growing in his avodas Hashem. Whereas once a person is nifter, he's an oimid, he's stationary, and the only way he can progress farther is by other people in this world doing things as a chus for him. It struck me how fitting it is to see a group of people who, before they had a Rebbe, were considered oimdim, to now become really the halachim in bringing someone who is now an oimid and rise, making his neshama rise. So honestly, I would just like to thank everyone who came from near and far today. And for all you guys have done and for making this dedication happen, it's a tremendous chus. Thank you.
Before I call up Chaim Hirsch to speak, I just wanted to acknowledge the many alumni who weren't able to join us today, who some of them are watching online, and they wanted to fly and they couldn't. There were a bunch of alumni whose flights got canceled last night. Delta seemed to have something against this event. They just canceled flights, seemingly no reason, but I think a bunch of them are watching and wanted to acknowledge their presence virtually. And now we'll hear from Chaim Hirsch.
Birshus, Rosh Yeshiva, Rebbeim, Chaverim. One quick introductory comment. All of the Torah that I'm going to share with you came from Rabbi Sharfman Zitzal. Any kashas you have on it are merely a deficiency in the way that I'm telling it over. Chas v'shalom, not in any deficiency the way he told it over originally. Imagine that you had $86,400 deposited into your bank account every single day. $86,400 every single day into your bank account. There is one caveat. There is one stipulation. You must use all of it every single day. The balance will not carry over to the next day. Imagine all of the tzedakah that you could give that one day. Imagine all of the investments that you could make that one day. But if you leave anything behind, you will not have the opportunity to capitalize on that money from the previous day. So the mashal is that we all have 86,400 seconds every single day. What we decide to use, we get to use. But the balance does not carry over. If we waste a moment, if we waste time, it's gone. If you invest it right, it's there forever. The investment stays forever. This mashal about the power of time, how to utilize time, was something that I remember hearing again and again and again from Rabbi Sharfman Zitzal, from Rebbe. Not only in the way he acted, not only in the way his hashkafa was, but in the Divrei Torah that he shared. So there was one Divrei Torah that he gave, a Medrash Rabbah on Parshas Emor, talking about the day of Rosh Hashanah. And so the Medrash Rabbah says that on the first day, on the Pasuk regarding Rosh Hashanah, the Medrash says that on the schedule of the day that man was created, on the sixth day of creation, Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you will, had a Seder, if you will. First hour was Hashem planned to create man. The second hour, Hashem created the Malkei Hashoreis. All the way through, third hour, fourth hour, fifth hour. It came to the ninth hour, Hashem instructs man not to eat. Adam HaRishon, do not eat from the Eitz Hadas. Tenth hour, man eats from the Eitz Hadas. Not a very good ratio there. 11th hour, Adam was judged. 12th hour, Adam came out with a favorable judgment. Says the Medrash Rabbah, because there was a favorable judgment, that day was going to become Rosh Hashanah. It was a good simin for eternity. So Rabbi Sharfman quoted the Bali Musar. I kind of wonder, parenthetically, if he was the Bali Musar, because he did not cite in the way that I heard it from my notes, he didn't quote anybody else. He quoted the Bali Musar, my own parenthetical. I have a feeling it was him. He asked the question, he says, wait a minute. Couldn't there be another better day than this day to create Rosh Hashanah modeled after? Think about what happened. The Koach Hatzir, think about what happened to Adam HaRishon. There were some unfortunate things that had resulted because of his Avera. We have to work forever, in perpetuity. Adam has to work as a result. He got banished from Gan Eden. So not so such good things came from it. Couldn't a Kadosh Baruch Hu have come up with a better model for Rosh Hashanah? So again, he quoted the Bali Musar. I secret believe it was him. He says, the greatest gift a person could receive from a Kadosh Baruch Hu It's the power of time. Another chance. Another opportunity to do better. And here was Adam HaRishon who walked away. Yes, there was collateral damage, if you will, but he walked away with another opportunity, a favorable judgment. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the greatest gift a person could hope for. Time, opportunity, ability to grow and go forward. And so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that day as the day of Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Sharfman, Rebbe valued time. He valued time. He spoke about time. When he passed away, 2017, if I'm wrong on that date, somebody correct me, but 2017 was a new experience for me on a very personal, raw level. When I was 15, I lost a father. Years later, my Mishnah Berurah Chavrusa unfortunately passed away. Years after that, I had a classmate in accounting who was a good chaver of mine. He passed away. But this was the first time a Rebbe had passed away. And I didn't know how to react. It's a different. It's not a father. It's not a parent. It's not a chaver. It's not a chavrusa. It's a Rebbe. It's a Rebbe. Somebody who cared about me, who invested time in me. You didn't have to. Got a paycheck. Okay, but it wasn't about money. He cared. How do you react? What do you do about that? And so I started to recall my experiences with him. Share with you a couple of vignettes. I had the zechus. I remember posting him in the Rebbetzin in my house for one Shabbos in Hollywood. This goes back many, many years ago. And we vacated at the time, had two children, I believe, very young, 2.5-year-old, 6-month-old, something like that. We vacated the room. It had princess decorations all over it. Rabbi Sharfman, the Rebbetzin were there. And unfortunately for me, a terribly embarrassing incident happened. Rebbetzin may not remember this. I remember it. It was terribly embarrassing. So what happened? We had white noise for the baby in the background. It was on a timer that would go on at, 10 o'clock at night, whatever it was, 7 o'clock, I don't remember, 7, 8 o'clock at night. It was white noise that would go on in the background for the baby to sleep through the night. And so we forgot to turn it off for Shabbos. Yeah. So Ray Sharfman, I trying to roll out the red carpet, I told my wife, Chashev, my Rebbe, staying by us for Shabbos, it's Rebbetzin. And so it wasn't until at some point, 11 o'clock, when we all went to bed, that I realized I hear the noise, the white noise coming. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's in the bedroom that Rebbe and Rebbetzin are in. So the next morning as we were walking to shul, I said to Rabbi Shai, I said, Rebbe, I need to apologize to you. When I go into this whole soliloquy, right, about what happened. I'm so sorry. In typical, quintessential Rabbi Sharfman fashion, what did he do? He thanked me. He flipped the tables. He turned the tables on me. And he says, Chaim, what are you talking about? He said, it helped me sleep better. I'm not sure if I believe that, but okay. He says, it helped me sleep better. You did a chesed for me. It was soothing. It was relaxing. Said something to the, I haven't had a sleep like that. And, it was the last time I slept like that. Because this is Rabbi Sharfman. That's who Rebbe was. That's who he was. And so here I'm embarrassed, and he's making me feel really good. What's unbelievable is that over a period of 20 years, and I'll talk about my experiences in just a moment, when I was in yeshiva with him, because there are some very, very tangible experiences that I had. As recently as last January, I was going with my son, Jake, who's here. We were going to Eretz Yisrael to celebrate his Nachas Tzvilin, and we were going to go, it was on the roster, to go to various Kivrei Tzadikim, to various Gedolim, to Davin, to ask for brachas. And I've never really, as much as I might hope into it, I never really did this before. Never really went to Kivrei Tzadikim. Deficiency on my part. Never really went to Kivrei Tzadikim. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder how this works, hashkafically. Do I daven to Hashem and there's a chus? What do I do? How do I approach this? So what happened? Mamish hashkacha pratis, kiss from Hashem, unbelievable. That week that I was having this on my mind, the week before going to Eretz Israel, sure enough, on the alumni chat, gets posted Rabbi Sharfman's shir from who knows how many years ago on the topic of davening at Kivrei Tzadikim. So this is unbelievable. I never attended that shir. This is my chance. I get to learn from Rebbe when he's not even here. It's unbelievable. I listened to that shir, and I have to tell you, I'm a little also embarrassed to say I was short on time. I had to skip sort of to the end because I knew that there was going to be a lot of back and forth, but I knew the maskana would come in the end. So I made sure that I heard what was going on. I can't tell you how many times I've already told over to people, do you know what the right hashkafa is? I mean, that's not for now. But the right hashkafa, when you go to a tzaddik's kever, I had no idea. Whole thing, I said, Rabbi Sharfman is a beautiful, beautiful, and he has advice, and there's an Eitzah Tova of what to do, and there's different, beautiful. My point, Rabbi Sharfman was there even when he's not here. So my experiences with him here in the yeshiva really spanned two worlds, if you will, two categories. First category is really what came second, but I'm going to start with the second one first. Second category was when I was in 12th grade. It was the first year of Beis Medrash here with Yechiel Stubetzky, who's sitting here, amongst others, but I believe in this room, Avi Lichtman. Avi was in the shir as well, I believe. And that shir was the first year. It was the pilot year that Rabbi Sharfman was giving the Beis Medrash first year shir. Our class was the experimental class, if you will. It was the experimental year. And I felt so honored and humbled to be able to say I was part of that experiment. I was part of the experiment. I was humbled to be part of the experiment. And like Rabbi Schwartz said, hearing the hashkafa, so many mashals that we will, I am sure, all remember. The thirsty man. Who remembers the thirsty man? What does a thirsty man want? What does he want? You're raising your hands. Water, right? Water. That's what a thirsty man wants. That's what Rebbe used to say. And that's Torah. That's Torah. That's all a thirsty man wants. The guy who's running the marathon. That was drilled into my brain. But the other experience that I had with him was years before that. In the high school, there was a project that some of you, the old timers, the originals, will remember. For those of you that are a little newer that may not have heard of it, there was a project that, again, very honored and humbled to be a part of. It was really Rabbi Palgan, I know, is not here. It was Rabbi Palgan's brainchild. I was only one of the many who got the opportunity to execute it. And the idea was Musar Haskil. Musar Haskil. What was Musar Haskil? Courage to Change, for those of you that might remember what the original looked like back from 1998, 1999, this is the original. This is the more current version. Current, it's now 10, 12 years old, but this is the original. And what was it? The idea was the Rebbeim would stand up, they would give a schmooze, and then there would be a few of us, Amaratzim, if I may say so, I'll speak for myself, not for anybody else, who would venture out to try to write up the schmooze. With Dr. Jacob's help, unbelievable. Dr. Jacob would tear the thing apart. Maybe there was a consonant, a vowel that was left over by the time he was done. And then it would be fit for publication and would go out to the local shuls around. There are many, many shmuzim that I remember, that I love. I know we don't say that one is my favorite and more than the other, but it, Lemaisa, there is a metzias involved here. There was one shmuz in particular I could not ever get out of my mind. I just, as much as, not that I ever wanted to get any schmooze out of my mind, there was one schmooze that always stuck with me. It was a schmooze that Rabbi Sharfman, Rebbe gave. I want to tell it over because of the way he gave it. It's on Pesach. We spoke about Rosh Hashanah, go to Pesach. Pesach, he would ask the question, say, matzah. Why are we so focused on matzah that seems to be driven by time? Time-driven. Such a few milliseconds between the 18th minute, the 17th minute, the 19th minute. Time. Why is there so much focus on matzah? Why not the actual Yetzias Mitzrayim itself? So Rabbi Sharfman quoted from the Sefer Or Yael, Rav Yehuda Leib Chasman, from Mashkiach of the Chevron Yeshiva. He would say, what was going on with the Bnei Yisrael, the Yidden at that time? We all know they were on the 49th level of Tumah. 49th level. If they were to have hit one more level, that would have been it. It would have been over. So explained Rabbi Sharfman, quoting the Mashkiach, he said the time was the most critical factor in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Time is what spelled the difference between obliteration and Yeshua. Time is what made the difference, the entire difference in the world. So you see, back to this concept of time, and I never forgot that shmooze. I never forgot hawking on it. I never forgot talking to him about it. And in just a moment, I'll share with you one little final piece of that shmooze itself that had very, very sentimental value to me. But before I do that, I want to take a little journey back to that year, 2017, when he passed away. What I'm about to share with you, I've written down from my notes from that year. This is not based on memory. I want to be very clear about that. None of this is based on memory. It's based on my notes that I took at that time. There was a WhatsApp that was created. Once it was learned amongst the Velt that Rebbe was in need of Rachamei Shemayim, WhatsApp was probably fairly new at that time. And so it was a novelty when the group got so big that it had to overflow to a second chat. This chat overflowed to a second chat pretty quickly. Not sure if anybody remembers what I'm about to say, but I've got this documented myself. Sefer Tehillim was completed over 100 times for the people on that chat. There were tzedakah pledges. There were personal kabbalas taken by people. People committed to no smartphones. Women committed to covering their hair. People committed to going to minyanim that they previously never went to. In an incredible, emotional moment, the local kollel, the North Miami Beach kollel, was packed with little children, davening, begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Rachamei Shemayim. For those that were here that remember, there were three nights, three final nights for Rabbi Sharfman's life. Beis Medrash that we just did the Chanukah Sabayis in, packed with people, learning, davening, pleading. On one of those nights, don't remember which one it was, I don't have that part documented, there was a Talmud Chacham who I will not mention by name because I do not have his permission. But I recall, because he had this conversation with me and I wrote it down and I was thinking about it for a long time. The Talmud Chacham, who we would all agree, know, and love and respect, said to me, he said, I do not recall ever a time that there was even gedolim, that there was such an outpouring of commitment, of learning. He says, look what's going on. And we started going through the chats, started going through the commitments people made, packing the Batei Mikdash, the Beis Medrashes, the little children. He says, do you recall even gedolim that had this level of support, of commitment? Do you recall a time ever? I don't know. This was the Talmud Chacham's question that he asked me in a private conversation. I have no siyata d'shmaya. I have no idea why. But I would like to offer to everybody one, what I believe to be contributing factor and why there was so much of an outpouring of love, support, and care for Rabbi Sharfman, for Rebbe Zitzel. You see, he gave everybody else his time. He gave everybody his time. It didn't matter who they were. It didn't matter what level they were at in the shir, where they were holding hashkafically. It did not matter. Rebbe was there for everybody. And this was now an opportunity for everybody to be there for him. I'm sure there were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many cheshbonos. I do not pretend to know any of them, but I can only help but feel that this was one of the many contributing factors. He gave to everybody else his time, this Musar HaSkil that he taught to us, the power of time. And indeed, everybody wanted to give it back to him as much as they possibly could. To conclude, that mashal that I started with, the $86,400, the 86,400 seconds. So that is the mashal that opens up with that shmooze about the matzah. And it's the very last entry in Musar HaSkil, in Courage to Change, in the original. And I'll never forget going to him and asking his permission to put that in. Because this is the only shmooze, if my memory serves me right, that we did something like this in Shas Maisa. What do I mean? We had many different introductions to the shmoozim, but this was the only one that we put a mashal that was not the Rebbe's per se, the only time. And I remember it very, very vividly. Why? My own father, Zatzal, handed me that mashal. In my own life, had nothing to do with the shmooze. And it was a little clipping, wasn't his, it was a little clipping that he got from somewhere, and I even remember, it said author unknown, nobody knew who came up with it. And I brought it to Rabbi Sharfman, I said, Rebbe, with your permission, I would love to use this as the introduction to that shmooze when we publish it. Rabbi Sharfman looked at it, perfect, loved it. And it went in. But it's the only one in there that I can recall that has such an introduction that wasn't the Rebbe's particularly. And the way that he embraced it, the way that he loved it, and I couldn't help but think to myself, very sentimentally, the connection, my own father, my Rebbe, who they know, who we all know, Divrei Chazal, is like a parent. But then also, as I thought about it more, it's actually the very final entry in the Sefer. It's the last one. It's the last one. On a sentimental value and a sentimental perspective, I thought to myself, how appropriate is it that the last one in the Sefer is the one that I just happened to remember so vividly for some reason more than any other one? Might be the end of one chapter, if you will, but it's the beginning of another. His legacy, it's so fitting, that there's going to be a wall in the Beis Medrash in his honor, his memory, because the Torah that he taught all of us, the Torah does not go anywhere. That legacy does not go anywhere. And now it's up to us to remember the value of time, of what he stood for, and we continue to perpetuate that memory forward. Yizkor Baruch.
Thank you, Chaim. We'll now hear from Rabbi Avi Mendel.
Thank you, Rabbi Schwartz, from Nasan Yeshayah, for putting this all together. When I mentioned that you should ask Reb Chaim to speak before me, I didn't realize what exactly that meant to follow Reb Chaim Hirsch. Thank you so much for those beautiful words. I don't have... It's a tough act to follow. Just one correction. It may have been Rabbi Palgan's brainchild. I don't know how accurate that is, but Reb Chaim is certainly the father of Musar HaSkil. I was actually just talking to my son yesterday. He was complaining about his English homework. So I said I could help him with it because I learned how to write, not from any of my teachers, but from writing Musar HaSkil and Dr. Jacob's editing. So Bershus, Rabbanim Chashuvim, Rebbetzin, Chaverim, I have to try to dive back, you know, some time recalling memories of Rabbi Sharfman. And I just want to share one thing that I think I've always found as remarkable when I think of him. And it's certainly something that I've come to appreciate even more over the years as I've had my own children, my own family, and been zocha to teach others, being able to appreciate the amazing, incredible kochos that he had and that he gave us. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter in the Or Yisrael quotes a medrash by Moshe Rabbeinu. The medrash says that he was chetzio lemala elokim and chetzio lemata ish. From his half and above, he was like elokim, and the lower half, he was like a man. Rabbi Yisrael explains what he calls as davar vehifucho, the thing and its complete opposite, that a person is both capable and obligated to, on the one hand, to be godly, to be angelic in his understanding, in his midos. He gives the example of kavod. A person is supposed to run away from honor. Honor should be something that he detests, should be disgusting to him. And at the same time, when it comes to his chaverim, when it comes to others, he has to not only give them honor, but he has to be able to appreciate it, to feel it, like this is something enjoyable, this is something that I must be giving, it's something that they need. An example I think of is, think about Hillel HaZaken. Gemara says that a person, we paskin, that a person should be an anav like Hillel. Hillel is the semel of anivus, of humility. We know that the famous story where the person tried to get Hillel to get angry, came to his house Friday afternoon and asked him all these ridiculous questions. And Hillel calmly, always answering, someone asked, can you be Megayer me? Well, tell me Torah on one foot. Hillel calmly answered, Be'anivus. You know, one would imagine that when Hillel was certainly someone who would run far away from kavod, and yet the Gemara says that there was a wealthy man who lost his lost all of his money, and Hillel arranged that there should be someone who not only should he have what he needs, but for this fellow he was used to someone running in front of him as he came through town on a horse, so he hired a servant to be able to run in front of him. And one time the servant, there was no one available, so Hillel himself ran in front of this fellow who was now an ani. And the pasuk says, Asher yechsalo, that we have to replace, to give a person everything that he needs. And you can imagine, and Hillel, when it came to himself, you know, if someone would offer, Hillel, you know, I'd like to, please, you know, when you walk in, everyone's going to sing Yom Amal Yom Melech, we're all going to stand up for you, we're going to have someone run in front of you, he would run in the other direction. As fast as he could. The idea, I'm just like imagining myself, you know, just thinking like, yeah, I should go run in front of a wealthy person and announce his presence. It's like disgusting. Certainly that would be a Hillel related to it for himself. But when it comes to someone else, this is what he needs. I'm going to provide it for him. And not that I have this feeling of disgust towards it. When it comes to him, I can completely flip my understanding of it, my view of it, to be able to appreciate it from his point of view, from his perspective. You know, thinking back, I had the schus of being Rabbi Sharfman's shir for 2 years, once in ninth grade, then again in 12th grade. And looking back at some of the things that we did and the thoughts that we had and the our behaviors, certainly not on his level. I remember in ninth grade, I think we brought him a birthday cake. I think at the time I had absolutely no idea there was anything improper with this. I think we put the numbers of his age, let's say what they were. You know, we brought those two candles with the displayed in front of him. You know, we had a birthday party. He was so happy, enjoyed it. I don't remember him saying, certainly nothing, no muster given. Sure, enjoy, happy birthday, beautiful thing. And just that, you know, when I think back and I just, you know, the memory of the smile and the laugh and the, when we were together, the guys, it was just like, you know, whether it was on a fishing trip or a late night in Avad or, you know, coming into the dorm with the iconic, it's time for a Seder, you know, there was such a, almost like a chavershaft, really, of that the guys had. We weren't hiding anything. There was completely open to share, and he was right there with us, whether it was to share a joke or to tell him the latest happenings in the sports world, or whatever mishigas we happened to be in, he was right there with us, and not with any level of disdain or looking from above, but like just a total sharing of being one, and that the joy sharing in that world that we were living in. And at the same time, being able, as for his himself, his own hasagas, his own avodas Hashem, in terms of the high hasagas that he had, in Torah, in Gadlus Adam, in Sneas, in ways of speech, which was in such a different world, it's hard to understand how you could be in both worlds at the same time. And even more than that, I think, was the fact that he demanded of us and expected of us to reach that world, to aim for that world. You know, I teach high school now, and imagining we were right in that same place, the same hasagas, the same view of what we could be. And he was able to drive home to us, to pick at our, I call them rants. No, to be able to engage us at a level that we could appreciate and understand, who we could be, what we could aim for, what life is about, to drive home the fallacies of the pursuits in this world, to the mistakes that we were making, but in a way that didn't contradict that respect that he had for us, that he was able to still appreciate to dance in this delicate dance of being able to go back and forth, where he, to be one with us in our little lowly world, but to be able to raise us, to give over that feeling of what we could be, of who we truly were. You know, I asked Eitan Dreyfus, who was supposed to make it today. I think Eitan may be supposed to speak for Penny. So maybe this is those who are learning Yivamas were like a shlishi mikoach sheni, but the third string. But he shared with me a similar idea that not only was this true on a global level, but really for each individual. When every individual got what they needed, you know, if this person was one Talmud, his kochos were headed in one direction, or he could appreciate a certain hashkaf or a certain hasaga, so that was where he guided him. Someone else was headed in a different direction or was at a different stage in life, whether it was would be while we were in yeshiva or in later years, to be able to bring himself to that place, to that perspective, to that viewpoint, to identify where he was holding, to be one with him, to understand him, to appreciate him and respect him, and then to show him a world that was attainable, that he could appreciate and reach. You know, Chazal talk about how Yehoshua and Kalev, when they were approached, their strategy, how they approached that they would fight off the Meraglim. You know, Kalev, you know, on the one hand, was decided that he was going to be pretend to be their friend and be one with them. You know, and Chazal say how it required siyata deshmai and a tremendous accomplishment that Kalev was able to do that without being pulled in to their ways. And Yehoshua took the other approach that he was, you know, stood at a distance to be able to fight. You see the challenge, the natural challenge of being able, and I experienced this, being able to be, you know, to lower yourself, so to speak, to Talmidim, to be able to appreciate where they are, to understand them, but that doesn't change your hasagas for yourself, and it doesn't change your hasagas that you have for them is really remarkable. You know, the ability to respect Talmidim for who they are and also to respect them for who they can be is something that he gave over to us that certainly allows us to today to feel that the hasagas that he had for us and for us to be able to give that same feeling, Be'ezus Hashem, to our families and to those we come into contact with. It was really a tremendous chus for all those years that we had him. And Be'ezus Hashem, that's something that we're able to maintain. Eitan shared with me as well. I think myself, I guess I have different ways that I'm pretty connected with the yeshiva in a number of ways. I was practically born here. But for many Talmidim, and even for myself, Rabbi Sharfman was really a tremendous bridge, the connection to the yeshiva. And certainly till today, there's so many Talmidim, myself included, whose their strong connection to the yeshiva is really through Rebbe. And through that, and through these ideas, Be'ez Hashem, his zikaron should live on. Yehi zichro baruch.
Okay, thank you everyone. I'm sure that this brought back memories for many people, and we could be here all day, but we won't keep everyone here all day. And thank you to the alumni who weren't able to come, who wanted to speak, but didn't end up working out. Mirza Shem will have opportunities in the future.